In a week's time or so, school goes back, and everyone with children, me included, is kind of freaking out. The last week or two has been okay because it was end of term, and then it's holidays, so if the kids are playing video games or screaming around outside while you try to work, that's kind of fine. But soon, we're going to be trying to make them do schoolwork at home when they want to be watching YouTube. And we should be working at that time as well. So Stress City on its way to all the parents. Well, big breaths. Let's call in a family therapist now before it even starts. Nicole Kingston, hello to you.
Hi, Joel. How are you?
I am good. Do you wish families would do this normally, come to you before the trouble starts?
Yeah, that'd be nice, but it's pretty rare.
What state is a family in when they come to see you? What's typically going on?
Usually they have already tried quite a few different strategies or approaches that they've Googled or found on the internet or read about. A lot of them have already sought help and just can't find a solution to what they're experiencing. So they'll sort of come to me and almost be in crisis, experiencing lots of difficulties with their kids. Anxiety is rife amongst children today.
Yeah.
They're struggling to meet their basic needs in a really kind of calm and resilient way, so they're panicked and worried about and anxious about their sleeping and eating and toileting. And they're just rigid and controlling and having lots of tantrums and meltdowns, and they just don't seem to be coping very well with the ups and downs of everyday life. So I get, a huge range of families and huge range of ages and issues. But basically the underlying issue is that the parents are struggling, the children are really unsettled, and the parents don't know how to settle them.
Interesting that you talk there about people Googling strategies which haven't worked. I know every GP in the world, ducks their head in exhaustion at the mention of Dr. Google. are there any bits of advice or strategies that people are getting off the internet that you could wish you could wipe clean from the face of the digital world?
I suppose the problem that I have with Googling and also, reading books and things is that it's very generic and it's not specific to your child. And I think to really understand how to help your child, you've got to know why they're experiencing such difficulties, what's the underlying issue. And I find a lot of those, the things that you pull up on Google and read in a book, they're really just Band-aid strategies that you'll try, and they're just addressing the behaviour. They're not really addressing what's going on underneath and what's causing the behaviour. And it's really not until you address that that you're going to get any real long-term change. So that's why parents get so frustrated and they come to me saying, I really don't think you're going to be able to help because we've tried everything. But everything that they've tried has just addressed the behaviour. It hasn't addressed the reason why it's happening. So that's kind of, that creates a real problem for them and a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness that we've done everything and it still hasn't changed. So this is just something that we have to cope with and manage the rest of our lives, almost.
So part of your job then is a bit of digging and investigative work to figure out the whys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, definitely. And each child and each family have unique circumstances. But generally, there's one fundamental underlying issue, which is that the child is really struggling to self-regulate, which is their innate ability to manage and cope and support themselves and to problem solve. So when they are put in a situation that they don't like or they feel uncomfortable with, their own brain uses its own thinking to solve the problem. So our children today aren't particularly good at that, and we as parents aren't very good at understanding how to foster that in our children. So our kids are kind of growing up with this inability to feel uncomfortable. So as soon as they feel uncomfortable, they panic, they get anxious, and their little brains aren't able to think rationally to solve the problem. Instead, they need their parents to solve the problem for them.
So we've got a week to make all of the children in Tasmania self-sufficient little problem solvers before they go back to kind of online school and interrupt every 5 minutes. Mom, why can't I do this? Dad, what's that? I don't understand. How do we get them to that point? What are some good, basic exercises and tips we can do to have our children learn to look after themselves?
I suppose the first thing is you have to trust them. You've got to trust that their brain is innately intelligent and it is capable of solving its own problems. And then you've got to allow them the space to work through their own manageable problems. So we're not talking about, you know, expecting a two-year-old to tie their shoelaces. We're talking about problems that are manageable for them. So you give them a yellow plate and they want a blue one, or they want to fall asleep but they don't want to do it independently, or you turn the television off and they don't want that. So these are really manageable problems that we don't feel very comfortable allowing our children to have. So as soon as our children get upset, we tend to come in and sort of rescue and fix the situation for them. If it's an unmanageable problem, absolutely, we need to. That's part of our role, is to come in and help our children and support them and work through it with them. But if it's a manageable problem, then it's really beneficial to allow them to work through that problem and the emotions that come with that problem themselves, so that they can trigger that self-regulation.
I find often a script from someone like you can be really helpful. What is a gentle thing you can say to a kid who's having one of these meltdowns over something that's really not that big a deal that they need to learn to deal with, to allow you to put the ball back into their court?
I mean, I suppose being present and available is important. So even though the problem is manageable and they technically should be able to deal with it, you do need to be able to support them through it, because the emotions are big and they feel overwhelming for the child. So firstly, just being there is really important. And the second thing is not to over-talk actually too much, because their brain is already trying to cope. So the more you talk and rationalise to them, which their brain's not able to really do at that point, the worse they become. So being still and being quiet for them is important, and just allowing them to work through it. I say things sometimes, you know, depending on the age of the child, I will sort of say things like, you know, you can use your own brain, your brain's super smart, you can do this, you know, things that encourage them, but also help them understand that it's their brain that's got to solve the problem, that it's nothing wrong innately with them, and there's nothing wrong with the situation. They've got it, they can manage it, you're super smart, you can do this, it's okay, you know, that kind of thing. But then you do need to sort of step back and allow them to work through it. And it actually happens really quickly. I think a lot of people believe that change is slow and it's really difficult and arduous, but it can happen really fast if you just allow the child's brain to manage itself, because it's innately capable of doing that. And that's where the trust comes in, knowing that they can do it. So if you've given them the blue plate and they want the yellow plate and they're tantruming, they can cope with the yellow plate, but we just feel very reluctant to let them cope with it.
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. Nicole Kingston, family therapist, is here talking us through some good strategies for children to help them to become a little bit more self-reliant, especially as they're probably going to be schooling at home where we are in the coming weeks and months. Nicole, I think I'm guilty of over-talking to my kid, exactly what you've been speaking about there, of not giving them the space. It's really hard to actually, as a parent, to go, I just want to give you everything I know and tell you everything, but actually you've just got to shut up.
I think, you know, the way that we parent has changed so much just in one generation, and I think probably that change in a lot of ways is really valid, because our generation growing up perhaps didn't feel very valued or heard or respected or even seen. You know, our opinion definitely wasn't important all the time in the family. So we've kind of shifted that completely, and we've become really child-focused, where we want them to feel supported, we want them to feel heard and valued and respected and seen, and we want their emotions. You know, we want them to know we've got their back and we love them and support them so much. And we're highly verbal with them. So the way that we explain things and work through situations is we talk, because we believe that that's how, you know, we're going to help them understand what's happening. But actually just allowing them that space to work through it, but being there with them, you know, in your body and hugging them and, you know, holding their hand or just rubbing their back is a lot more effective for them. There's two, you know, to have a, to, for their brain to really thrive, for any human being's brain to thrive, it needs to feel secure because it needs to know that it's not only loved and supported, but also it's independent so that, you know, when it comes across a problem, it can solve it or it can attempt to solve it. We're really, really good at providing that love and the support and helping our children feel connected to us as parents, as the generation, but we're not so good at allowing the space for their independence to develop. So they're sort of getting one side of the coin but not the other. And to really feel secure within themselves, to trust themselves and their thinking, to be secure in their relationships and in the world around them, so you know they're not fearful or anxious or overthinkers about the world, they really need to have both. They've got to have the love and the support and the connection, but they also have to have an ability to be independent and to trust their own independent thinking. So it's kind of balancing the two that's really critical to our children's development.
Now, what about for the parents who are going to be quite stressed? Look, I know having been doing this in the last few weeks that working from home with a child 2 metres from me at a table who's also doing schoolwork from home, and I've got the constant interruption and stuff, what is your mantra for an adult in that situation to keep calm and carry on?
Yeah, I suppose. You know, just don't put too much pressure on yourself. It's I've had so many questions over the last couple of weeks about panicked parents thinking they're letting their children watch too much telly or they've been on the device too long and, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? And, you know, I think we need to really take the pressure off ourselves, and if we need to pop them in front of the television to watch a movie while we do a Zoom call with our workmates, that's okay. And this, I know it feels like this is never going to end, this moment that we're in at the moment, but it will. And in a child's brain development, it will just be short term. So any excessive device time or anything at the moment is okay. So take the pressure off trying to do everything right. And, you know, setting them up, giving them something to do, which doesn't always work, but putting them outside, allowing them to go outside, even if you have to sit on the deck, or and they're outside playing, you know, that's really helpful too. I worked with a mum just last week and she was struggling enormously. And so during the week, we just each day, I talked her through different steps of how to get her child to play independently outside. And within a few days, mum was able to sit on the deck, write some emails, and her daughter was able to potter around in the backyard watering the plants. So they sort of, you know, came to a nice kind of balance there. But definitely taking the pressure off, trying to nurture yourself a little bit if you can to get yourself through in a mentally healthy way is important. And, you know, keeping your connections as well, so your friendships and your relationships, that's important. I think one of the big things that people are missing in this whole period is that our mental health is going to be really pushed, and we really need to look after it. It's really important. So if we can't get our children to do all their work for the day that they're meant to be doing, that I think that that's okay. We need to sort of relax and forgive ourselves a little bit for that because we're all under so much pressure.
Nicole Kingston, it has been great to get some advice from you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Nicole Kingston is a family therapist with us this morning on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.